I had it on my heart today to minister about the anointing that Jesus ministered with. And I've heard it said, and I've also said many times, that we need to follow the example of our Father God. And in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. In other words, light come to pass. That word be means come to pass. Let there be light. So we need to be calling things. But at the same time, we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ, who is in the Godhead as well, isn't he? And we need to follow his example when he was here on the earth. And what purpose did God have for Jesus here on this earth? And we notice that he emphasized the anointing. As a matter of fact, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Now, we are going to be talking more about the laying on of hands today. And I understand that some people might be a little concerned about, okay, should we really lay hands on the sick? But I want to show you that it's a mandate in the Word of God to lay hands on the sick, not just those ministers like Jesus who have a special anointing, but also in Mark 16, it talks about believers. If you drink anything that's poisonous, that doesn't mean you need to get a glass of water and put cyanide in it and just drink it. That's foolishness. But if there is anything in that system, if there is anything airborne, if there is anything when you shake somebody's hand that comes onto contact with you, whatever that plague is or whatever that pestilence, remember Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilences. There's going to be plagues and diseases. But don't let your heart be troubled. Should we do everything that we need to do? Of course we should, just like Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman in Healing Bread. She talked about finding the source of sickness. And she ministered to one community while you're turning to Luke 4 there. I'll tell you a little story. She ministered to a community, and typhoid fever had run rampant in that community, and many of the young men and so on and so forth. And she ministered to them as much as she could because she was a doctor. But at the same time, and she ministered the word of God and laid hands on the sick, and I'm sure she saw many healings and so on. But the thing that she emphasized there was, before I left, of course, I asked God about the source of that sickness and disease. Now, she's talking about a natural source, because there are spiritual sources of sickness. And really, with Adam's original sin, when he fell, then sickness got into the earth. But understand that through Jesus Christ, we've been forgiven. And we have a healing covenant even before, with the Hebrew law, there's a healing covenant. But through Jesus Christ, we have the life of God within us, and Jesus took our sicknesses and diseases. But we still have to walk by faith. But anyway, back to the story there. She asked God what the source was, and found out that there were dead hogs. And it was typhoid was getting into their water system through that. So they took care of the problem. And she said for years, as far as she knew, there was no more typhoid fever. So we don't have to hyper-spiritualize everything and not do the natural things. Of course, we need to cover our mouth and what have you. But at the same time, let's not be in fear about shaking hands with our brothers and sisters. Let's not be in fear about giving hugs. Let's not do that. But let's do the natural things that we need to do. All right. With that, in Luke chapter 4, so let's pray and ask God for the source, and let's pray for our government, and let's pray for doctors, for vaccines and what have you. But at the same time, let's understand that truly sickness and disease got in through sin, Adam's original sin. And although we may not be sinning in our life, so it's come to pass, you can bring things on yourself, spiritually speaking, that opens the door to the devil in these natural areas, and sickness can get in, of course, if you're not fulfilling the plan of God, if you're not using your faith. I mean, that's a number one. If you're not walking in love, sickness and disease can get in. But anyway, I've been trying to get to Luke 4, so you've been pulling on me so much that I can't get there. Moving right along. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, notice Jesus had a custom of going to church. And let me also mention in Hebrews 10 verse 25, it says, forsake not the assembling together of the believers. So it really is a mandate to come to church. And through times of crisis, we don't stay away from church, but we come to our local church. And we receive from the Lord, and we get his direction for that time. Thank God we can live stream right now, but this isn't God's best. So let's believe God that we get back into the church building together. Amen. As his custom was, as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Let me say this, Jesus was reading the prophet Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus being the Christ. And this is what he said about himself, and it made him mad. When you speak the word of God, it's going to make people mad. All right? Not everybody. Some people will get glad and receive it and get ministered to. But in verse 18, Jesus said about himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then when he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. All the eyes of those in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say today, this scripture is fulfilled in your healing. And they marveled at him with such gracious words. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Let's go on down to verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him. So whatever Jesus said, they were coming against it because he didn't have their approval to come in there and talk about being the Christ, being the anointed one. He didn't have their seal of approval, so to speak, to come and preach and teach this message. And they were upset at him. And he was talking about Naaman, the leper who got healed. And he was talking about Elijah the prophet and so on, and it made him mad. People are going to get upset at times when we talk about the healing power of God. They're going to get upset at times and when we talk about laying hands on the sick. But this is a predominant doctrine of God's word. So when we talk about these things, not everybody's going to receive it, but that doesn't mean that we're supposed to stop laying hands on the sick. And you might say, well, just don't lay hands on anybody with corona. It says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I remember when Jesus laid hands on Peter's mom, and she had a high fever, and it said that he touched her hand and lifted her up. A high fever is contagious, you understand? And Jesus, it said many times, he healed them all. He laid hands on them all. And they even tried to get the hem of his garment. And we know that sickness and disease can be on your clothes or whatever. So are we gonna stop laying hands on the sick? No, we're not. Now, you don't judge me if I lay hands on the sick, and I won't judge you if you don't. How's that? But I will say this, I'll warn you that if we don't fulfill the mandates of God, it's going to open the door for worse things to come. So we can stay in our house and hunker down and be afraid of sickness and disease, or we can simply do what God's word says and clear this stuff up. But we do pray for our government. We do pray for the natural things. But I'm talking on the spiritual side. God wants us to clear these things up by laying hands on the sick. He wants us to clear these things up by teaching them how to live a righteous life God's way, so that the door is shut to the enemy and so that the life of God can work. Romans 8:11 says about the Spirit of God living inside of us, and that same life that raised Christ from the dead, it quickens, it gives life to our mortal bodies. But we need to be living right. First of all, we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and as we do that, we open the door for our old heart to be changed and a new heart to be put in us, and inherent in the grace of God within our our heart, when we receive the Spirit of Christ in our heart, we have faith now. We have peace. We have love, but they're all in seed form. These things have to grow. We have to use that faith. We've got to use our love. We've got to say, Father, I receive your word, and by faith I receive healing, I receive prosperity, I receive everything you have in your redemptive word for me, and will receive that salvation. What do I mean, salvation? Well, you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, but you also receive all that comes with that salvation, which is redemption, healing, wholeness, prosperity, freedom from sin. But you need to repent if you're wrong, right? Okay, moving right along. You got me off there again. And so they got angry at him. They didn't like the things he was preaching. And remember, Jesus even healed on the Sabbath, and that really made him mad, because it was going against their rules, so to speak, their mandate, so to speak. I'm not saying that we should be going against the government's mandates and that type of thing, but I tell you what, if somebody stops me on the road and says, will you lay hands on me? Of course, I'm going to see if they have faith first. I'm going to teach them a little bit of a lesson, but I'm going to lay hands on them. I'm going to minister to them, because that's a mandate from my Heavenly Father. All right, let's learn a little bit more about the anointing. Here, let's go in verse 40 of chapter 4, verse 40. And while you're going there, I'm going to get a drink, if that's all right with you. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. And it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Then he said to his disciples, get out the hand sanitizer, hurry up. No, he didn't say that, and I'm not saying hand sanitizer is bad. As a matter of fact, I have some. I even ordered some online, praise the Lord, because they're all out of it, and everybody's having a fit over toilet paper as well these days. If you don't know what that's all about, ask somebody. But anyway, they're buying all the toilet paper up. They're buying all the hand sanitizer. There's a lot of fear going around. There's a lot of hoarding of items going around. You know, and I like toilet paper, so stop buying all the toilet paper. All right, moving right along. There you are, you know, y'all get me off again. I'm just trying to be funny, okay? But it's all true. All those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on them. You know, after we lay hands on the sick, we've practiced this for years. I'll have one of my attendants give me a hand sanitizer, and I wash my hands. But you know what? I'm laying hands on them. I'm touching their clothes. I'm breathing in the same air they're breathing. I can't just stop laying hands on the sick and get afraid that I'm going to get sick because airborne disease. You understand? Hand sanitizer isn't gonna get it. That's what I'm trying to say. But we use wisdom and we do everything we know to do. I was in Thailand years ago teaching in a Bible school, and it was on a Sunday morning service where they had church, and there was a whole line of people, and frankly, there were a lot of people there that were pretty dirty, so to speak. They were off the streets. And there was one person, and I'm not racial at all. I'm just saying they were dirty, okay? And so they probably had a lot of bacteria and that such a thing on their clothes. And I just had a talk with the Lord. I said, Lord, you protect me from anything. And he's like, yes, I will. That's what my word says. He keeps and protects us, lest we dash our foot against a stone. The angels of God keep and protect us. And he protects us, and we have a healing covenant. And if we believe, just like John G. Lake, when disease gets on our body, it will die in Jesus' name. But we've got to be using our faith for these things. And if you're not quite there yet, hey, I'm not going to judge you, but don't judge me, all right? And there are times when I've dealt with fevers. There are times when I've dealt with symptoms, and I try to use wisdom. And in all honesty, I won't hug the kids if I know that I'm running a fever or that type of thing. But I'm not going to stop coming to church, all right? Well, moving right along, I'm meddling now. So there was a man there, though, that had an open wound on the foot. You know you don't touch an open wound. I told him, well, put a Kleenex over it, and I kind of laid hands around it, you understand? But I believe the anointing went into that foot and ministered. But we have, my husband and I, have traveled all over the United States and all over overseas, and we have laid hands on the sick, and never have we ever contracted anything other than the power of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But if your faith's not there, then I'd say don't lay hands on people. But I will also say we'll get in trouble with God if we don't get our faith there, because he commands us, lay hands on the sick, reach out to the lost, minister, teach, preach, heal. All right? That's a mandate, and we will get in trouble with the Lord if we start yielding to fear, because he said, again, let not your heart be troubled. All right, so I want to go, notice there, though, they brought him people. Why did they bring him? Because he taught, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. They knew if we just get these people to Jesus, sick people to Jesus, then they'll get healed. They'll get whole. But notice there was anointing that came out of his body. There was anointing upon him. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're all excited about that. Amen. I want to go to Luke chapter 6 in verse 17. Luke 6, 17. And we'll stick here in Luke a little bit. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Well, that was Jesus, and that was in that day. Well, we're going to see how disciples, ministers, individuals stand in using that same anointing and laying hands on the sick today. And as believers, it says in Mark 16, we're supposed to lay hands on the sick. Now, we're going to you have to understand that there's a difference between praying the prayer of faith for somebody and laying hands with raw faith, so to speak. And then there's a difference between that and just simply ministering by an anointing. There's an anointing on ministry, many ministers. My mouth is still waking up. Excuse me. There's an anointing on many ministers. Just like Jesus, he commanded the 12 disciples to go, and even 70 disciples there, and he gave them power, and they went out, and they cast out devils. They healed the sick. You understand? They did what Jesus did. They followed his example. But we also do see in Mark 16, and we'll just go ahead and read that. Let's just turn there. So I'm stopping here a little bit to explain something. That we are all supposed to lay hands on the sick, not just ministers who minister with a tangible anointing. What do I mean by tangible? It means perceptible to the touch. In other words, you can feel something's taking place in my body, perceptible to the touch, but we don't go by feeling, we go by faith. And when somebody lays hands on us, they're laying hands in faith, and we ought to be receiving by faith. But then there's a laying out of hands simply that's just a point of contact, and it's raw faith, so to speak. We may not sense any anointing, but it says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover here. We see in Mark 16, and we'll start in verse 14, actually, let's go to 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the devil wants to keep us from going into all the world. He wants to keep us in our home, quarantined all the time. You understand that? I'm not saying that there are times when we shouldn't be quarantined or not getting out because we're dealing with symptoms and use wisdom. But the devil's ultimate plan with this type of plague or anything else is to keep us from going out and reaching out with the love of Jesus, is to keep us from our local church. We're not supposed to live just going to Walmart. You understand? We're supposed to go into all the world. And it's a mandate. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, I will say this also, and I'll keep reading the scripture there. What my pastor has said is, I don't take any missions trips. I don't do anything unless God tells me to. So in that respect, there are a lot of places that I won't go. Why? Because God's not led me to go there. So I'm going to use wisdom. But if God deals with me to go, we've been to Russia, we've been to Mexico, we've been to Russia in times when it was on high alert. You understand? Now, I will say we had a backup plan how to get out of there quickly if we needed to. But when the Lord tells you to go someplace and he specifically puts it in your heart, he's going to protect you. But I shouldn't it just go everywhere and anywhere and foolishly just say, well, God's going to protect me, because if I go against the witness of the Spirit, then I can get in trouble. You understand? So when God tells us to go into all the world, let's search our hearts what that means for our specific lives, what that means for ministers, for your specific ministries, because we have the faith to go where God deals with us to go. But it's not because sickness and disease is keeping us from there. I said it's not because sickness and disease is keeping us from there. It's not because political unrest is keeping us from there. There are people that have underground churches and God's led them there. And if they didn't ever come out and minister to anybody, nobody'd get saved. So anyway, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe, not those who are in fear. Fear and faith directly oppose one another. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to pick up snakes on the ground and just, you know, and be stupid. But it means that if a snake comes and I'm unaware and it bites me, that I will be protected. If I believe, amen, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick. So we have to teach and preach faith to individuals. Jesus, my husband did a study at one point, and this has gone down a little bit. There we go. And he saw that in the scriptures, 75% of the people Jesus ministered to received by their own faith. So obviously, he wasn't just teaching them about the anointing being on him. That was a predominant message. We saw that, remember? That was his custom, to go into the synagogue. He opened up the book of Isaiah, and he said, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So that was one of his predominant messages: I'm anointed. But also with that, he taught people, it's according to your faith. Remember, he told the blind men, according to your faith, be it unto you. Remember, he told the woman with the issue of faith, woman, let's go there. Not the issue. Did I say the issue of faith? I meant the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, very quickly, Mark chapter 5, let's go there. And it says in verse 25, Mark 5:25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him." So we need to hear something. Faith comes by hearing, according to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When she heard about Jesus, faith rose in her heart. She came behind him in the crowd, and what did she do? She touched his garment. So she not only, she knew how to receive by faith, but she had heard about that anointing. What was she receiving by faith? The anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. She touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And that's an important part, for she said. What are you saying? What are you speaking? Are you talking about, you know, I better go get the latest flu medication? I'm not saying it's wrong to get flu medication. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the doctor, but let's be led by the Lord. And let's not everything that comes out of our mouth, oh, I better drink this holy tea. I better go get some flu medication. Oh, the flu's going around. The flu is going around me. Amen. And we've got to watch what we're saying. She said, because she had heard about Jesus, she heard he was anointed, and she knew that she needed to receive by faith. So she had heard that it was according to faith, and therefore she touched the hem of his garment and received that anointing and said, I shall be made well. What are you saying today? Not only should we be saying, look, when they lay hands on me, I'm going to be made well. But we should also be, when we do have hands laid on us, or when we do pray to the Father for something and ask and you shall receive, we need to believe that we receive it with the hand of faith, and then we need to start thanking God for it. And we're not talking about all the latest medications. We're not talking about all the flus and the plagues and the things that are going around. But we're talking about God has given me a covenant. God has healed me. God has put the life of God in me. And therefore I'm healed and I'm whole. Notice in Jesus' day and age, people didn't have the life of God inside of them. That anointing was upon Jesus. Now that same anointing can be upon ministers today, or people can reach out in faith and minister, and sometimes the anointing come on them. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to understand the anointing will come on you, and ministers, you need to be baptized in the Spirit, and then you will notice different endowments or gifts of the Spirit starting to work in your ministry, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a prophet. I'm just talking about the fivefold ministers. I'm not just talking about helps ministers, or who are supposed to lay hands on the sick and just believe, like I said, in raw faith. But I'm talking about ministers in the fivefold ministry that will have different gifts of the Spirit at times. Not everybody has the same ministry. Not everybody necessarily has the endowment to lay hands on the sick with a special healing anointing. But everybody can lay hands on the sick in faith. Everybody can. Find out what God's anointed you to do. Find out what God's anointed you to do. Let's go on down to verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith, or your belief, your trust in God, your believing that you received from that anointing and that it's working in you has made you whole. That word well means whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. All right? So let's go back. I was reading there in Luke, right? Let's go back to Luke chapter, were we in 6 there? Luke chapter 6. There's some notes I have. And he came down with them, stood on place. Notice again, they came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. That's what I wanted to bring. They came to hear him and be healed. And they sought to touch him for power, went out and healed them all, not just a few of them, but all of those who believed. See, when Jesus was in his own hometown, only a few sick people were healed. Why was that? Remember, we read there in Luke 4, because they questioned, they knew him as a young boy, and they saw him, they were being mental about it, and they were upset at him because he hadn't been approved ceremonially, so to speak. He wasn't ministering according to their plan, according to their rules, and he got upset at him. But when Jesus went out from his hometown, and he preached, and he taught, and those people believed, and they brought sick to him, and he healed them all. Amen. And that happened over and over and over again. And I'm sure that there were other places where just a few people were sick, and, you know, just a few were healed. But notice it says many times over, Jesus healed them all. Let's read some scriptures along that line. Let me see here. I'm going to go on down. Get ahead of myself here. In Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted. Notice that, all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee. Excuse me, my iPad is not wanting to stay in place here. So, praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Mark 6:53. Mark 6:53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, began to carry about beds those who were sick. Why were they doing that? Because they had heard that Jesus was anointed, and they had heard that according to people's faith, they were getting healed. And the multitudes were coming to him. Whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched, and I'll say this, as many touched in faith. As many touched in faith were made well. We also see in Matthew 9:35. We're talking about following the same example of Jesus in teaching, preaching, and healing, and also following his example to receive from that anointing. Verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people, healing every sickness and every disease among the people, healing every sickness and every disease except for corona. No. Every. Just say that. Yeah. Tell your family. He healed them all. He was moved with compassion for them. Because they were weary. You got to be careful, because people say you have no compassion. Yes, we have compassion. That's why we're following the scriptural mandate to lay hands on the sick. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. He had compassion on them. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep on going here. Notice in John 6:2, and you can just write that down. John 6:2 says, "Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs." You could say they saw his miracles, or they saw Jesus' works, which he performed on those who were diseased. And a miracle is a supernatural intervention. It's a change in the natural course of nature. It changes things. Maybe you've got a bone in your knee that's missing. Well, a miracle, a healing miracle, would be a miracle that has healing with it. And it means that God gave you a new bone. Amen. Well, in salvation, Jesus provided new bones, new everything that you need, or he just provided the anointing that lives within us to minister to any area of your body that needs healing sped up, so to speak. Healing denotes a process. Miracle is more of an instantaneous thing. But we'll move on here. John 14:12-14 says this. John 14:12-14 says this. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do." Notice that that doesn't say only the fivefold ministers who believe in me, the works that I do. No, he said he who believes in me, the works that I do. What were the works? Well, my spiritual father at one point said the works were the teaching, preaching, and the healing. So the works that Jesus did, we ought to be teaching, preaching, and healing. Well, I don't have a tangible healing anointing like Jesus. Well, first of all, you have an anointing within. Remember Romans 8:11? The same spirit who raised Christ from dead quickens your mortal bodies. You have, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Just because you don't have a tangible healing anointing like Jesus or other ministers, some ministers may have, you can still lay hands on the sick. That is the works of Jesus. Amen. He said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And that word ask is to ask, call for, or require. So we can just ask, we can pray to the Father, or we can actually call and require in Jesus' name that things change. In John 16, it talks about prayer to the Father. And in this scripture, really the context here, if we read it right in the proper Greek, we should say, if you call anything in my name, if you announce anything in my name, if you say, let it be. And we need to be using our authority to minister to the sick, don't we? Yes, we do. Well, praise the Lord. So anyway, moving right along, let's go to Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Are y'all out there?
Yes.
Luke chapter 9. And while you're going there, let's get another drink. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9, and let's read there in verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Notice, he sent them out to do what? To preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they were supposed to go teach, preach, and heal. And he gave them power. Well, what was that power? Again, it's that tangible anointing to minister to the sick, to cast out devils, to deliver those who are hurting. And we can go to Matthew 10:1 there. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Notice, healing and casting out unclean spirits, actually he ministered an anointing where devils left as well as sickness and disease left. So that anointing drives out devils. That's what I'm trying to say. That anointing drives out devils. It drives out sickness and disease. Amen. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And we also see there in Mark 3, verse 13. And when he went up to the mountain and called to them those he himself wanted, and they came to him, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. You see, the enemy wants us to stay home. He doesn't want us going out and preaching and teaching and healing, which is what Jesus emphasized in his earthly ministry. And that's what we're supposed to emphasize. So don't listen to this fear mongering about you need to stay home all the time. You just need to stay in your home. I understand if there's a short period of time that we need to do that, or if you're dealing with symptoms of sickness and disease, you know, for heaven's sake, stay home and blow your nose and get some rest or whatever. But believe God that the same power that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal bodies, quickens your family's mortal bodies, and then get up out of that bed and go start laying hands on the sick. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Thank you. That's a mandate. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to be weird about it. Go into Walmart and have a healing line, or when you're at work, disturb people and don't do your work. Use wisdom about it, okay? But we're supposed to just in our everyday life be teaching, preaching, and healing. We're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. We're supposed to be telling them how we've got healed and whole. We're supposed to be laying hands on the sick. And if we're about doing that, we're not going to get in fear that these things are going to get off on us. Well, praise the Lord. Peter, Paul, and other ministers in the book of Acts also had this tangible anointing and also stepped out in endowments of the miraculous. Let's read about that in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, because many times people don't understand. When your pastor says, I'm going to lay hands on the sick, I have a tangible healing anointing, you may say, well, Jesus had that, but you don't have that. Well, Jesus does still distribute that tangible healing anointing today. There are many ministry offices that minister with the tangible anointing, or even minister with the gifts of the Spirit. And if you don't understand what that is, well, Well, tune in next Sunday, and we'll explain a little bit more about that. But we're going to be emphasizing receiving by faith next week. But I also want to talk a little bit more about different endowments. The healing anointing, the tangible healing anointing, it ministers to the sick through the laying on of hands predominantly. But there are also gifts of the Spirit. And sometimes gifts of the Spirit can just be simply spoken out. In other words, a minister may know intuitively by the Holy Ghost, somebody's got an ailment of some sort, and they call it out. Well, that's called a word of knowledge, for instance. A word is that maybe you get a word of a knee or a leg, and then you intuitively know, well, somebody needs healing in their knee or in their leg, and sometimes you get more words with it. For instance, there was a time when I got a word of knowledge in a service after my husband preached and taught, and I immediately saw somebody go through a windshield, and it and their nose was broken, and I saw this scene. So I came up and gave that out, and basically the word was, you have problems with your nose. Ever since you got in that accident, there's problems with your nose and your nasal passages. And a man came up and said, for 2 years now, after this accident, I went into the windshield, and for 2 years now, I've had surgery and other things, and they have not been able to take care of this. And he received his healing. I laid hands on him at that time. See, but that was a word of knowledge. Now, I still ministered in faith, but he had to receive by faith. Okay, so there's different ways that ministers can minister. God uses me a lot in words of knowledge, or even sometimes words of wisdom, where you see some future things or what have you, discerning of spirits and maybe tongues of interpretation. Those are different words of knowledge there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is that right? Yes, thank you. I just went blank there for a minute. Let's go back to Acts 5. We only have 3 minutes left here, okay? Acts 5. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders. See, the reason I brought up the gifts of the Spirit, because gifts of the Spirit can also be taking place as well as the laying on of hands and ministering that anointing, okay? So through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets. Notice, salvations ought to be taking place. People ought to be getting saved because they're seeing signs and wonders, and they're seeing that anointing minister and break bondage and heal people. And therefore, people ought to be coming to the church and getting saved. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. So that, you know, that was a miraculous taking place. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. In this end time revival, this is what we're going to be seeing, just mass healings. And the enemy's doing everything he can to get people scared with plagues and pestilences and diseases so that they'll stay home and they won't go to the revival. But let me tell you what, it's not only going to be taking place in the streets, it's going to be taking place in homes, it's going to be taking place in mass. And the enemy can't keep people home. He can't keep it from happening. Acts chapter 19, verse 11, we'll end with this. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So, are we supposed to lay hands on the sick? Just like Jesus, absolutely. Lay hands on the sick in faith, whether you have a tangible healing anointing or not. You lay hands on the sick, and if you believe, and if they will receive according to their faith and say, I believe, I take it, I trust God, then they'll be made whole. Now, learn in your own life, in your own personal life, in your family's life, use your faith. Take your healing and wholeness, but then go out and find out what what God has called you to and where you're supposed to minister. If you're a fivefold minister, what country has God called you to minister? What local church has God maybe called you to preach in, pastors? Has he called you to start a local church? Has he called you to just to travel? You need to know what God's told you to do. But you need, if you have that tangible healing anointing starting to operate in you know that God wants you to lay hands on the sick, well, start praying it out. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and start praying it out, and then do what God tells you to do. Hook up with your local church first and foremost. Get involved with Helps Ministry. Clean the toilets. Work in the nursery. Do what you know to do. Be a faithful steward, just like Philip and Stephen and the others. But then God used them in miracles. They just were attendants in the local church, but God used them in miracles. We talk about Acts chapter 6 there, because they were faithful. And just be faithful. If you have a ministry anointing on your life, pray it out. Find out what it is. Talk with your pastor. If he doesn't understand these things, if he doesn't understand healing and wholeness, you need to hook up with ministries like ours at Spirit of Faith Family Church. You need to listen to Nancy Dufresne, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. You need to start getting yourself filled up with the Word of God along this line. And you need to come to a local church in your area, not just off live stream. And you need to get involved in that local church. So I invite you to come to the local church here at Spirit of Faith Family Church, 4029 Southwest Avenue, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404. Amen. I say you ought to come in Jesus' name and learn what your place is. And then all believers should lay hands on the sick. And what did it say? They shall recover. Amen.